in a very down-to-earth, practical way, which really acquires a healthy perspective in Avodas Hashem. That's the first two chapters. And the next chapters speak about midas, how to work with one's midas, what the concept of midas are. And in that fourth chapter of the Emunah B'Tochen of the Chazon Ish, he writes the following. That when a person comes to learn about midas, and you read different svarim about it, then you see that the different rabbis, different books, and different eras have always tried to divide up and make order out of the different midas. And they've tried to categorize each one. They make one called anger, one called arrogance, one called desire, one called honor, one called competition, one called revenge, one called bitterness, stinginess. And we've got so used to looking at the different middas as separate worlds, divided up topics. And you know, what are you working on now? This middle or that middle as two separate things. To the point where they've even started publishing books where the entire book is on how not to get angry. And an entire book is on how to work on one's desires. Entire books have been written on separate middas. We've become used to that way of thinking that it seems to us like there's a divide between them. And they're all separate concepts. However, when you're looking at the root, when you're not looking at how it expresses itself in this particular midah, but rather you're going back to the source of what's wrong within the inner world, and you're looking at the fight that a person has, and they really only have one source. They have one source which expresses itself in numerous ways. For some people, they may have an inclination towards one bad trait, and therefore when they have this one source of negativity, it will express itself in anger, and someone else, it may express itself in sadness. Just to give a very simple example. Let's say a person goes through a particular tragedy where they feel someone wronged them. So what will their response be? So some people's natural response will be wanting to take revenge. That will be their response. And some people's response will be not to take revenge, but they'll become angry at other people who come their way. And some people will stop functioning and get depressed. Now, that all emanates from the same place, but each one with their inclination, it could express itself in a different way. But is there one root, one source of all the negativity, which maybe one could work on in the external, but one could also work on in the internal, and that way, you know, wipe them all out in one go? V'shorsham ein kan rak mida achat tova, v'mida achat ra'a. It seems so simple, the Chazon Ish says. There's only really one thing you need to work on for the good, and the opposite of that is the bad. Hamida ra'a hi ahaznacha et ha'chayim ha'tiviyim al mahalcham ha'tivi. The bad way is where a person abandons himself to whatever natural forces take him. So whether that expresses itself in anger, he'll just say, oh, I feel angry, I'll express my anger. Or whether he feels lazy, he says, oh, I feel lazy, so I'll be lazy. Or he's looking for honor and he allows that to express itself. Whichever negative expression it is, it all emanates from the mindset of, if this is the way I feel, that's who I am. And that's what I'm going to do. Because that's what it is. It's objective. You can't argue with that. So there's one root of all the negativity, which is abandoning one's life to the natural forces. Ubli kol ishtadlut. And then if he doesn't, even without putting in any effort, this is quite a harsh line now, he says, yishtalem b'midot ra'ot kulan. He can perfect himself in all of the bad traits. Because whatever comes his way, he'll let it happen. He's not actively working on himself. Yekasan mitsuyan. He'll be an excellent anger. He'll be an excellent revenger. He'll be an excellent arrogant individual. V'chein hala. Lo yachaser lo mikol ha'midot ha'ra'ot shemanu chachamim me'umah. He won't be lacking in anything because anytime any of them gives even a little bit of expression, he'll say, this is what I feel now. Well, I shouldn't be true to myself. This is what I'm feeling. I need to express it. That's what will happen when a person abandons himself. Amida tovahi. And what's the one good trait? Ha'haskama ha'mukhletet levaker, with a chaf, like from the word b'chor, et shoresh ha'musari al regesh ha'ta'avani, u'minukuda zohu lochem keneged kol ha'midot ha'raot yachad. The good trait that one has is where a person says, I'm taking control of my life. I'm the boss. I'm in control. And whenever something negative comes towards him, instead of saying, oh, I give up. What can I do? That's just who I am. In any area, he says, wait, I know what to do with this. I'm the boss and I'm taking control. And in any given area, He says, I'm choosing to rise up or make precedence, give precedence to my inner goodness, that I'm in control and I'm looking to do good, and that overcomes my passing desire that I happen to feel right now. And with that perspective, that he believes that he can take control, he believes there's an inner core goodness, and that anything else passing is just passing and it's not his essence, rather it's just what he feels like, but that's not who he is in his core, then he goes to fight, not in one particular midah, but whatever will attack him. Because really it's all the same source. Whether he's being lazy or whether he's being angry, whatever it is, it's all about, are you going to allow yourself to go with a whim and whatever you just feel like doing you're going to do? Or are you going to say, no, I recognize this is another challenge and I'm in control here. I'm not going to let this feeling of depression overtake me and just wither. I'm not going to let this feeling of laziness overtake me and just give up. I'm not going to let this feeling of anger overtake me and shout out. I'm in control and I can control myself. That's the one core. Shezeh ha'ish. You can't go halfway in this. Either you're in control or not. You can't say, I'm in control when it comes to anger, but when it comes to laziness, I just give in. Because it's a koach within a man, that you either are in control or you're giving up. Either you believe in Bechira Chofshes, I can choose, or you believe in there are forces working beyond me, which I can't, it's out of my control. What can we do? You know, you can always hear when you talk to a person where they are on this spectrum very easily. Very easily you can hear where they are. When they say, I tried, but what could I do? You know, that kind of a phrase, then you can see which side they're leaning to. And when you hear someone said, I can't let this happen, I had to take action. And you see where they are. And you can pretty much predict a person's future, even from a younger age. I mean, obviously you can't predict which particular profession they'll go into. But you can predict like how well they will do in their profession they choose to go into. Whether they'll be in a role of kind of, I'm not saying this is the definition of success, but whether they'll be in a role of more of a managing role, or whether they'll be in a role of more of an employee role, just taking commands all the time. And like just things are happening around them, but they're not actively doing them. And also how their marriage will go in, b'gadol, depends how their wife is in response to this. You can tell from a young age. Unless, of course, they learn this and take control, right? But if they would allow it to continue in the way that it is, you can predict pretty much where a person is. And you can hear how people speak years later where the topic may have changed, but they're still talking in the same defeatist way. What could we do? You know? And that's the way they relate to the world. That's the way they relate to themselves as well. The Yetzer Hara comes there. Zeh ha'ish asher or ha'secher v'sugulat ha'nefesh hekitzuhu v'yashpiu olav l'bechirat ha'tov. When you have a person who thinks, he uses his mind, and he channels his soul, and he influences himself to choose good, I'm in control and I'm choosing good. I can choose and I'm choosing good. We spoke about this in the Tahir Libeinu series. I can choose and I'm choosing good. When you have that perspective and that mindset, who shoef b'sha'a tova latov bli mitzarim. And when he desires good, it's in every area. He's not saying, okay, now I'm working for the next year on this and so everything else is just going to go by the wayside. No, he can work on everything. Because whatever will come to him, he's with the same mindset. It's as if, you know, like someone who's just got out, he broke free from the chains of the enemy who are trying to harm him. And now he's free. So one of the attackers comes from this side. So he feels like empowered now. I'm free, then it can no longer hold me. Like imagine Shimshon when he realized he had his strength again. So he comes, and then this one comes to attack him. He's not going to say, well, if they come from that side, I'll attack. But if they come from that side, I'll just let them beat me. He says, no, of course not. Like I'm on a fire now. I'm fierce. I'm a warrior. I realize I have power. If they come from this side, I'll hit them down. And if I know this one from there, I'll hit them as well. What does it make a difference? In any direction I'll come, I'm in control. When a person realizes I'm in control, then whatever face the Yetzer Hara, the horror, whatever costume, if you like, the Yetzer Hara puts on, he's attacking you from depression, he's attacking you from taiva, he's attacking you from cover, whatever it is, you'll say, it's the same thing, it's all the same thing. You're trying to make me feel defeatist, you're trying to make me feel I can't control myself, you're trying to make me feel, well, you maybe won't give into that, but you'll give into this, this you can't say no to, whatever it is you can't say no to, he'll make you feel. Once you realize, I can say no to anything I want, I'm in control. Then whatever face he puts on, whatever costume he's wearing, you're in control. And you'll be able to achieve good without limits. And then there's no limits in all the good you accomplish. Because when you're in the mindset of, I can accomplish, I can achieve, you can keep going, there's no limits. There's no, oh, when I get to that, that's just too much. You know, there's no limits. You can keep going in every area and refine yourself. He begins to see the world as eternal, without any limitations. I can do anything. I can accomplish anything. Bilti keitz or bilti tachlit, without any limitations. And at that moment, he'll have a disdain for all of the bad traits, because they're all the same thing. They're all making me feel that I can't do things in life, and they're all making me feel that I'm worthless, and they're all making me feel like I'm limited, and they're all making me feel like I'm defeated. No to all of them. No to all of them. I'm in control here. So the Chazanish views it as one way. I'll just add on to the Chazanish's words. Now this gives us a lot of hope, because when you see them as many, many, many areas, it does seem quite overwhelming. Until I figure out working on this trait, and I figure out working on that trait. Here, really now, you can take any trait that you want. Anyone that you want to work on. And I'd even recommend picking an easy one. Anyone, or maybe if you pick an easy one, you'll say, okay, that one I could do, but the next one, oh, right? You might be mistaken like that. So maybe pick a harder one just to prove to yourself. But either way, you pick one trait. And just to give a mashal, if you have a stick over here, just to give this mashal, right? So if this stick, it doesn't make a difference where I pick it up from, the whole thing will come up. I could pick it up from here. See there? Or look at this. I could pick it up from here. Pick up the whole thing in one go. When you recognize the Chaznish's way, it doesn't make a difference if you pick this bad trait or this bad trait or this bad trait, this trait. It's all the same concept. It's you taking control. So once you learn that you are in control and you can say no to negativity in one area, then when the next Yetzirah comes your way, you'll say, I know you. You're the same thing. You're dressed up differently, but it's the same thing. I've already taken control. I know what it means to take control. I can say no to you as well. So instead of needing to work on many, many different traits, and each one's different, and how am I going to work on it? And you have to buy lots and lots of books. One book on anger, you don't have to buy lots of books. You buy the Chazanish, costs about 15 shekel, and you get that, and you just apply it, and you realize, I'm in control. And then any negativity that comes towards you, I'm not saying you won't have to work on it. You will have to, because you have to recognize it's the same Yetzirah. And that takes a bit of work just to recognize the same Yetzirah. But once you've recognized that, you say, this is the same thing. Then you already feel empowered. I know that in respect to trait of laziness, I learned to say no. And I learned that even when I feel tired, I can push through and I can still go to the base medrash and learn. I know I can do that. I know how to identify when it's being lazy and to be able to say, I don't care that I feel tired now when it's not, you know, authentic. I'm going to push myself through that tiredness and I'm going to keep learning. And once you've learned how to do that, then you can do the same thing to taiva of looking at something inappropriate as well, because you've learned how to take control. And then it won't be a new struggle from scratch each time. You won't be worn out from having done it once and have to do it again and again. You've done it once, you've got it. You have to learn how to apply it in a new situation, but you've got it. It's yours for life. Which is a huge empowering message of the Chazanish. Zoti kol avodateinu. I'm just sorry, I just want to add one more thing. The Rebbe of the Alei Shor, maybe he quotes it here. No. But the Rebbe of the Alei Shor was Yerucham Levovitz. And he had one topic, which was his big topic that he would work on. And in fact, such a big topic that the Alei Shor wrote a whole book just on that topic, which they have here in the library, in the Kollel. And that topic was self-control, which he called Das. He called that having Das. Like, the Das is what guides you. And in Alei Shor part 2, he has a chapter on Das, but he wrote a whole book on it separately. Because when you have what he calls Das, when you have that ability to have self-control, you're able to identify that you are in control, you've conquered everything else as well. Everything else falls into place. You can push through any project. You can overcome any negativity, because to the degree that you're in control, you can say no to the negativity and you can say yes to the positivity. Right? So whichever ugly face rears its head, you can say, boom, boom, knock them all out, because you have that control. And so his Rebbe was very into working specifically on Das. And he would, you know, even fine himself, literally with money, fine himself if he wouldn't overcome his will 5 times a day. He had this thing where he would overcome his will 5 times a day. Like, he wanted to check if the mail came, and he would like not go and check. But nothing avera there, you know. Just to have, so I can say no. I had the desire to go and check, and I'm not checking. That's a very healthy thing to take on if anyone wants to do that. If you ever, ideally, the phone shouldn't be with anyone in the base marriage, so that wouldn't be a challenge anyway. If it is, then this is certainly true. Right? But even when you go back to your room, and your phone's there, and you want to check the message, you could say, I will check, but in 5 minutes. I'll have enough time to respond. But in 5 minutes, I'll check. And that self-control that a person dictates by, I want to check right now, but I'm not going to check right now because I'm in control, just for the sake of being in control, just to prove that I'm the boss here. And I'll check in 5 minutes. It's important. I know no one's denying that it's important. I need to respond, my parents, everyone. But I don't have to do it this second. I have to do it the moment that I feel. And the same thing with your food, you know? You go to the charocha, you get your food, you sit down, right? And you want to dive in. You don't have to dive in that second. The food's then, I'm not talking about like standing at the back, maybe there'll be food missing by then. That's a different story. Right? You don't have to go that far. Right? But take your plate, come to the table, sit down, and don't eat straight away. You have time. Talk to this friend, talk to that friend. Do it for a minute. Not long. Not in like an unusual way. Everyone's finishing and you're sitting there. They're not unusual. You're going to talk to your friends in the meal anyway. Just do the talking at the beginning. And just leave your plate for, 3 minutes. Nothing's going to happen. It's still going to be there. And then you're activating self-control. You're showing, I'm the boss. I'm in control. When you do it in those neutral areas, it empowers you. And then once you're empowered, then you can learn, I can take control of myself. Once you know to do it there, you're able to do it also when something inappropriate. And it's a great, great feeling of satisfaction when you're about to say something which was really funny and would really get, a good laugh from your other friends, but it's at someone's expense. And you've got the joke already and you can just imagine how everyone's going to crack up laughing and you catch yourself and you say, I'm in control. And you don't say it. And especially if you started saying something where everyone's like looking at you, yeah, go on. What are you going to say? What's the joke? And you say, no, I just realized it's not appropriate. And you step back. And they go, oh, no, go on. Yeah, no. By then you're in control. Right? You say, no, I'm not going to say it. And that self-control that you have when you're about to say it, it's so funny and you can say it, nothing's stopping you. And you catch yourself. That's a tremendous feeling of satisfaction. It's a higher sense of gratitude that you have, gratification that you have of knowing you have self-control than the joke that you would have made at someone's expense. Like, it would have been funny, but this is much greater. This is an inner value that you have. I'm in control. Zoti avodoteinu. So says the Aleshor, commenting on the Chazon Ish. That's our main work that we're doing here. Lechazek tamid et haratzon lihiyot ba'al letaher. So bringing it into our context, if one wishes to build their ratzon, this is exactly the avodah that you need to do, right? Because what's your ratzon? Well, your ratzon might be to be funny and make a joke at someone else's expense. And that's going to come at the expense of your ratzon to do the will of Hashem. But as you are in control, then you're able to channel the ratzon in the way of Hashem. And all the other ratzonos that are pulling you in other directions, which right now are saying, we're the boss, who do you think you are taking control of yourself? We've been ruling you for a long time now, don't rebel against us. Suddenly you can turn around and you can say, excuse me, I'm the boss. And then you have the will, you control the will. And as you control the will, you can direct it in the way that you want. It's just a funny thing, when a child grows up, you're probably still in the stage of discovering your own will as opposed to your parents, but I'm watching it from the parent perspective. And there's a stage where you do everything for your kids on two levels, on the very young level physically and then on the older level when they're becoming teenagers, kind of more ideologically. So you're watching them and there's a place where they now wish to express their own will. Right? In other words, we've bought clothes for our young children and suddenly they say, I don't want to wear that. What do you mean you don't want to wear that? We bought it for you. I remember once being really upset, bought a really nice garment for one of my daughters, right? And it was a fair price. And I thought my wife bought it there. I thought it looked very nice. And she refused to wear it. From day one, she refused to wear it. We bought this for you. If she would have worn it for 6 months and then she would have said, I don't like it anymore, I would have accepted that. But she didn't wear it from day one. You have an opinion? Well, what is this? How dare you have an opinion? I'm the parent. I paid for it. I will tell you what you like. Don't you tell me. And then suddenly they discover, no, I liked initially what my parents said. But then I discover I have my own ratzon. Now, if I would be a really bad parent, right, I would force my will upon them. And I would say, I don't care that you think you have a will. I'm telling you what your will is. And what would happen is then, if they were, if I'd be successful, then they would lose will. They wouldn't have the ability to make decisions. They would just say, I'll ask my parents. And then suddenly they would grow out of the home and they wouldn't be able to make decisions. They would be paralyzed at every step because they would say, well, what do you want to do for, career counseling? What do you think? I don't know. I'll ask my dad. What do you mean? What do you want to do? I didn't think about it because they weren't given a chance to express their will. Right? Their will never came into fruition. They were always told what their will is. So now they don't know how to activate will. You see the mashal there? That's exactly what happened to us in the Yetzer Hara. Someone who listens to his Yetzer Hara and gives in, then his Yetzer Hara is like that evil parent who says, do what I say. And a person loses the recognition that he has the inner will to do good. And he just goes along with the Yetzer Hara. And then suddenly he comes to a yeshiva or comes to a mindset that he wants to do good somehow. And they say, well, what do you want to do that's good? He goes, I don't know. I don't have will. I've never been thought of as someone who has will. And I never, you get it? I've never been thought of as someone who has will. I don't know if I have will, but no one even thought of me that I have will. So I can have will independently. What is that? I don't even have to do that. So I'll go with the Yetzer Hara. He gives me kind of good suggestions throughout my life, which have kind of got me in trouble, but at least I have someone to rely on. I mean, otherwise, what am I supposed to do otherwise, right? So I'll go with the Yetzer Hara. And suddenly discover, no, I can say no to him. And that's when that child learns, I can say no to my parents. But sometimes it's unhealthy, right? And sometimes it's very, very healthy. It's very healthy that my child says, I don't want to wear that. Extremely healthy. I respect it tremendously. It's annoying financially, right? I have to give back this clothing or whatever. You can't give it back. And then, okay, hopefully, well, it's good. We have a whole bunch of girls. So if it doesn't wear that one, the next one will wear it. But they said, I have my own opinion. I celebrate that. I celebrate that. Have your own opinion. Do your own thing. If I think it's not clever, I'll give you my guidance. Right? I'm not going to like let you gonna fall off a cliff. I'm going to give you my guidance. But still, I'm celebrating the fact that you are developing your own will. Someone who can do that, they can also say no to the Yetzer Hara. Because they can discover, I can choose my own way. And instead of just giving in to the Yetzer Hara, it says, because how do I know what my own will is? I'm always just saying yes to everyone else. Suddenly I can decide, I can do my own thing. And that's a very healthy trait. So says the Ali Shor, this is our avoda. L'chazek tamid et haratzon lihiyot tahor. We have ratzon until now. It's partially determined by us. It's partially determined by other forces. And as we develop ourselves, we tune into our inner ratzon to do good. Everyone knows the famous Rambam about the one who doesn't want to give a get, right? And you hit him until he says rotzeani. And the Rambam says, what do you mean? Like, if you're hitting him, he's not saying rotzeani. Like, you hit a person until he says, I want? That's wanting? Say you want. No. Boom. Say you want. No. Boom. Say you want. I want. That's not that he wants. That's kofet. And a get kafui doesn't count. It doesn't count if you give a get. So how does it work that you can hit a person to the get? So says the Rambam, because the inner will of every Jew is to do the will of Hashem. And therefore, if his Yetzer Hara was so strong that you had to beat him and beat him, until that was the only way for him to access his inner will, but ultimately his inner will is to do the will of Hashem. So instead of, you know, being beaten, option number two is, says the Chazon Ish, you could just recognize the will of Hashem as your will. And the way you do that is by overcoming in very small doses. Whenever the Yetzer Hara says to you to do something, you say, I can say no to. We spoke about this also in the Tidy Venus series about the phrase you can say, you do your job and I'll do mine. Right? By recognizing that he's someone external to you and he's trying to impose his will upon you, then you can say back to him, you can say, you're doing your job, Yetzer Hara. You're doing a very good job, actually. Excellent. Now, I'll give you a medal for the job that you're doing. But you're doing your job and I have to do mine. And my job is to say no to you. That's my job. Your job is to try and trip me up, and my job is to say no. So you do your job and I'll do mine. And that way you're able to strengthen the will. And as you strengthen your own will, you can choose where to dedicate it. And you can dedicate it to Hashem, which is the core of where it is. Kol asher lomdim besifre yira v'musar v'chazal yesh lomdo b'kavana l'chazek et haratzon liyot ba'al etaher. When you learn Maseilas Yesharim, and when you learn the Agadata, Agasota is full of Agadata. When you learn the Agadata, you can learn it with a mindset of intellectually trying to understand what it's saying and translate it and say it over. Or you can learn it with an openness, like we spoke about in the first tefillah part that we did on last Thursday. You can learn it with an openness of, my goal is to become more in line with Hashem. And whatever you go in with, that's what you accomplish from it. Did I tell a story about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave? I told it in the Bayacham, Shonabi Bayacham. I'll tell it again here. When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai went in the cave, like Lag BaOmer, tomorrow night. When Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar went in the cave, then they went in and they were learning Torah for 12 years. And they came out and they were destroying the world. And Hashem said to them, did you come out to destroy my world? So what should be the guidance that Hashem now gives? Yeah? Imagine a parent don't want their son to go to yeshiva because he's going to become Haredi. Yeah? And never eat in their house again. And marry some frummy girl who they can't relate to. So they don't want that. So what do? They say, you're only allowed to go to yeshiva for 1 year. Only 1 year. Sign a contract, 1 year. But he comes back after 1 year, payers, tzitzis, the hat, and the accent's like a bit off, slightly off. And they say, what? This is what happened to you in yeshiva? That's terrible. Go back for another year. What? Hashem says to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Elazar, you went into the cave to destroy my world? Go back in for another year and then come out. What does that help? That's going to make it much worse. If they disconnected from the world for 12 years and they came out and destroyed the world, Hashem should say, never go in the cave again. They shouldn't say, go in for another year. It's ridiculous. You hear the question? But it all depends on what your intention is when you go in. That's what you'll get out. When Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar went in the cave, why did they go in? They were running away from the world. The Romans were chasing them. They had to disconnect from the world. They had to run away. That was their intention. They went in the cave first time round with the mindset and the goal of disconnecting. That's what they got. That's what the mindset they developed was. Then Hashem said, don't come and destroy my world. Go back and learn Torah. But this time, learn Torah with the mindset of connecting to my world. They went back for another year and they carried on learning Torah, but their mind was focused on how can the Torah connect to the world? That was their agenda they went in to learn Torah with. They went in to learn Torah with that. They came out, and what does the Gemara continue and say? They saw a person walking with two branches. And they said, why do you have two branches? And they said, one is for Shamor and one is for Zachor. And they were able to see how you can use the physical world and devote it to Hashem. Oh, they got that message. They understood. So when you learn something, what do you get out of the learning? Whatever mindset you had that you were learning it for. If a person has a goal to come close to Hashem and to be Baal Tahir, that's his goal. I just want to feel close to Hashem and do the will of Hashem. And then he reads Maseiras Yesharim. Every word, or you know, not every word, but every concept that he reads in Maseiras Yesharim will heighten that sensitivity. It will strengthen him in his feeling I'm closest to Hashem, because he's seeking that. Just like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was seeking to disconnect, and disconnected. They were seeking to reconnect, they connected. When you read Maseiras Yesharim, whose goal is to connect it to him, with the mindset that you wish to connect to him, it will have that goal. If Chas V'Shalom, a person reads Maseiras Yesharim because, you know, it's on the recommended book reading list, but they don't actually have a desire when reading it to grow and connect, then it won't have that effect on them. It'll be surprising if it has that effect on them. It could happen. It could be that in the middle, it'll suddenly be inspired by an idea and there'll be a turnaround. But it won't naturally happen. So just read those words again. Did I tell you that this is the last time we're going to do this chapter? It's not always up to me. Where is it? Okay. Kol asher lomdim sifrei yira v'musa, whenever you learn Avodas Hashem oriented books, yesh lomdo b'kavana, you should learn it with a very specific intention. As you come to learn a Musa Sefer, there's a way of learning, a mindset that you have to be in, an openness that you have. L'chazek et haratzon liot ba'al etahem. When you strengthen your desire to become pure, to come close to Hashem, if you do that, you'll get out of the book what the intention of the book was. V'kol cheshbon nefsho shel adam yeh merukaz likvoa im v'ad kama chazek rutzono liot ba'al etahem. What do you do in a cheshbon nefesh? So we've already put down the idea that you shouldn't do in a cheshbon nefesh from 1 to 10, how was my davening today? 3. Okay, good. Next day, 6. Okay, good. Okay, 4. Like, what are you getting at there? How do you gain from doing such a cheshbon nefesh? If you do a cheshbon nefesh, where the goal of the cheshbon nefesh is, to what degree do I feel? Do I feel? And to what degree do I feel a desire to come close to Hashem? And if it's lower than you would like it to be, or even if it's where you'd like it to be, you can always ask yourself, what more can I do to strengthen that? That's the whole goal. Because that's what the Chazon Ish said, is the one strength that's going to inactivate everything. It's you taking control and saying, I wish to be close to Hashem. I want to strengthen my will to be close to Hashem. Yirev yifached adam, pein rak yesh bo shosh netziya liot ba'al etameh chazram. And if you discover that in any interaction that you had, or in any learning that you had some ulterior motive, you had some force in you which wanted something bad to happen for some reason, you'll immediately identify it and say, what, I'm giving up control then? I'm just going to allow those things to wash over me and to take control of me, chas v'shalom. And you'll, if this is your focus, you'll immediately be able to identify it because it stands out like a sore thumb. Oh, how could that be? How could I have allowed myself to just to drift over there and just done something inappropriate because I wasn't thinking at that point? The Gemara Sota says that the only time when a person does something which is inappropriate, it's when a ruach shtus comes over them. Meaning, what's the ruach shtus? Is that you're not thinking straight. You're not in control. When you're not in control, then the Yetzer says, oh, opportunity, he's not paying attention. And it makes you do terrible things. But when you're in control, that wouldn't happen. Doing a cheshbon nefesh enables you to be in control constantly. Sorry, there will be one more on Ratzon, but it's enjoyable. We're gaining a lot from it. It's worthwhile. Okay, shkoyach.